Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Lee from the Lee and Keys Show, waiting on my man Keys to call in. this is our first show of 2018, so, you know, we're going to get up, we're going to talk about a lot tonight. We're going to look at the year 2017 in review, give a couple of opinions on what we thought was cracking in 2017. We're going to talk about a couple of UFC things for 2017. we'll talk about what we thought were the highlights of 2017 as far as our personal opinions. For it could be anything that, you know, that comes to the top of our mind. This show, we really don't have, let's say, a specific rundown. Because we're just going to talk about the year 2017. I know I put on Twitter a few weeks back. I put on my favorite hip hop artists of 2017. I put up there my favorite my top 10 songs for 2017. I put up there my favorite R&B artists for 2017. Me and my man Keys, we talked about some UFC things from 2017, but being that 2017 is now in the rear view, it's a good time to reflect on some things that went on during 2017. I think for me, 2017 will stick out to me as the year of Kaepernick. What Kaepernick did was utterly amazing. He single-handedly made America talk about issues that America didn't want to talk about. He brought to the forefront social injustice, racial inequality. His stance reached not only pro football, but soccer, high school football, a lot of other sports. I know certain NBA players would do it if they could, but in their collective bargaining agreement, they must stand during the national anthem. But I'm quite sure quite a few of them would. I'm sorry. Kaepernick spearheaded a movement, and even though he's not in the league because of the stance that he took, other players in the league continue his movement. Players like Malcolm Jenkins, his teammate Eric Reed, Michael Bennett, Kenny Stills, and then it even brought some white football players to the table, i.e. Chris Long, offensive lineman for the Seattle Seahawks. I can't think of his name right now. But he didn't kneel, but he put his hand on his teammate's shoulder. And the only way the movement really gains steam is if the white players join in also. I know everybody knows that during 2017, President Trump said that if a player knelt during the national anthem, that them SOBs should be kicked out of the stadium or whatever. And his statement alone just goes to show you that he's unaware of the events that are happening in our country. He even said that there should be more police brutality. Our president said there should be more police brutality, if you could believe that. Kaepernick won a lot of awards this year for GQ Man of the GQ Athlete of the Year. He won a lot of awards, and even though he won those awards, a lot of people try to misconstrue his movement as disrespect to an anthem, or, you know, not being in support of the military. His stance was never about that. He clearly stated stance was when he was asked last year, why was he not standing for the national anthem? Kaepernick said he was standing, he was kneeling down in protest of police brutality, racial and social inequality, gender inequality, economic inequality, I think he threw in there also. And not only did Kaepernick take a stance, he put his money where his mouth is. He went out and donated millions of dollars to fight famine and starvation and, you know, support educational systems and things like that. So I would like to applaud Colin Kaepernick at this time for making America look at itself in the mirror. Are you really about the morals that you preach in your in the Constitution and in the Declaration of Independence? Is it liberty and justice for all? You know what I'm saying? So thanks, Kaepernick, for bringing such, for spearheading such a movement, man. You just don't understand what you did for this country. Another big story from 2017 is this little back and forth between our country and North Korea. I'm a former military guy. I did 22 years in the military. I was in the Air Force. You know, I've been around the world. You know, I've seen a lot of things. I was in the military when we went to war with Iraq the first time. I was in went to war with Iraq the second time. I was in there when we had the war on terrorism. So I've been around and seen a lot of things. But this thing with North Korea, it's kind of scary. You know, nuclear war is a thing that once you go there, there's no coming back from that. Look how long it took Japan to rebound from when we dropped the first nuclear bomb on them. It took Japan almost 50 years to recover from that. Now, we're talking about our country, America. Our country spans from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, from Canada down to Mexico. This guy in Korea says that he has a nuclear bomb that could reach our country. Never in our history has somebody threatened our country like that. Now, being a military guy, I look at it like this. Do we really want to try it? Do we really want to try him? Do we have enough intelligence that says that he can do this? Is it worth it? Now, if we had a more diplomatic president in office, I think there could be a peaceful resolution or a peaceful talks to happen. But our current president is all about aggression and trying to flex. That's not smart. Because you got to look at the lives that could be lost if this guy is really serious. And then when we retaliate, how many lives going to be taken in their country? I need for the smart people in Congress to put their hand on the pulse of this country and take this country back from this lunatic president we got. And we need to become more diplomatic. Let's stop being so aggressive towards this country. We don't know or not this country is for real or not. He could be blowing smoke, but is it worth taking that chance? I don't know. I say no. Certain people say yes. But for those people that say yes, I say take a look at your kids, your grandkids, and just imagine, close your eyes and imagine that they are no longer there because of a nuclear bomb. Okay, I'm an East Coast guy. I'm proud to be from Virginia. Everybody that knows me knows that I'm proud to be from Virginia. This weather thing, this global warming and this climate control thing, this is a serious problem. Vice President Gore many, many moons ago said that we need to get this thing under control or the earth will slowly start to deteriorate. And if you look at the weather patterns have definitely strayed out of control within the last couple of years. I'm in Denver right now. Today I think it was about 50 degrees outside. I'm from Virginia, and I think my whole 18 years growing up in Virginia, we had a couple of hurricanes. We had one ice storm, and I think it may have snowed twice. Today in Virginia, they got 9. Some places got 11 inches of snow. Some people got up to 9 inches of snow. So what are we going to do about this? What can we do about this? Take control of the things you buy. Stop buying so many water bottles. Buy filter water. You know, buy green. Recycle. Let's start taking care of our planet so our planet can live. So your kids' planet will live. Their kids' planet will live. Instead of let's destroy our environment by being reckless with the things that we do. This global warming thing can be prevented, but it takes us to make changes in our lifestyle to spearhead this change in the environment, the global warming. A lot of people don't believe that their efforts help. One person does something, they tell a friend. That person does it, they tell a friend. The next person does it, they tell a friend. It might skip a friend, but the more we start taking care of our environment and taking pride in our planet, the planet will survive better, and we can get this environment thing under control. I know my man Keys is on right now, and he's in Boston, and he the one that had me thinking about this because he brought it to my attention. He was like, yo, Lee, man, we need to talk about this global warming, man. This thing is for real. And it really is, and people really need to start taking this seriously. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome my homeboy Keys in. Hey, Keys, what's going on, bro?
Yo,
Keys, what's going on, bro? How you doing, man?
What's up, brother? I got caught up for a minute outside. I was shoveling out my house, and my neighbor's snowblower was stuck in the middle of the street. So we were just helping him get that thing over the other side of the road, helping each other shovel everything outside. It's crazy out there, man.
Yeah, I was just telling the people about how you was telling me about this global warming thing, and you know, we decided to breach this subject, and I guess I said, you coming on right now, just say way into that, man, because
yeah,
you made
me
think about it, so
yeah,
speak on it.
You know, it's tough to call because, you know, there's still a lot of people out there, you know, that they don't believe in, you know, I mean, it's a thing where people, they don't believe in climate change. They don't believe that, you know, the things that we do every day and things that it might be, you know, necessities to us in our everyday lifestyle are directly affecting our environment. And it either be that or at the same time is the same, you know, same mentality that, you know, allows them to feel like, you know, man owns the environment. And really, it's like, we got to remember as people, we're on their planet. Like, this earth does not belong to man. Like, there's still things beyond our control, you know, that are occurring. And there's only so much we could do to stop these situations. You know, we can't stop any of these things. But, you know, we can make strides on a smaller level to work towards, you know, lessening that effect. I mean, I don't know about you or whoever might be listening or having a, you know, a harsh winter last year, this year, or the year before was pretty crazy. You know, and just, you know, how many of those people, you know, are able to see that vision? I mean, if you haven't had, you know, a negative 50 degree day, negative, you know, negative 20 wind chills that they're forecasting. I mean, I don't remember, you know, maybe I was too young to remember because, you know, I mean, I'm still young, but maybe I was too young to remember at those times, you know, the weather being, you know, on this level and having snowstorms and wind chills like this on a regular basis. You know, I probably sound, maybe I sound uneducated on it, but I mean, from my perspective, I mean, I'm not exactly a huge news kind of guy. I don't watch the news, you know, religiously or anything, but nor was I doing that when I was, as I was younger, but I just don't remember a lot of the weather conditions that we've had in the, past couple of years, where I was old, at a point in my life where I'm thinking about it, more effectively and more thoroughly. So, I mean, I guess it's just, there's things we can do, but at the same time, it's like, there's a lot we don't know too. And, there's a lot of different factors that play into, like I said before, I'm not the most educated cat on that, on that topic. But I mean, I can judge off observation and what I see. And I mean, it's easy for older generations and, people who are, might be, my parents and their parents remembering, a much more harsh weather conditions, when they were younger. I mean, around here, most storms, most big storms are compared to the blizzard of 78 out here was pretty bad. 1978, there was a really, really bad storm. They had too much snow to know what to do with. I mean, you couldn't, everything was shut down for, days and days. I mean, that was a long period of time. And we haven't seen, nothing that we could, very closely compare to that. But I know last year or the year before in Massachusetts, the snowfall that we had, cumulatively over a longer period of time was actually accumulated to more inches than they got, back in 1978. But it just wasn't all at one time, especially, with, having the resources and tools that we have now. The snow blowers weren't, people didn't have a lot of the assets we have now to work against, the weather and being more prepared and having weather forecasts and things like that. People didn't know, and you couldn't call it, a day before, 2 days, 3 days before, a week before, like they're doing now. And, there wasn't all that weather prediction thing like that. I mean, I'm not like I was alive to experience it, but that's just, what I've been told by people who are, far older than me.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, when it comes to an environment is people think El Nino is just this little thing, but it's actually a true thing. If you just look at the weather, I mean, if you look at California lacks rain. I think they've been in a drought for the last 10 or so years. They don't get enough rain. But if you look at before then, they were getting enough rain, whereas, the state, it wasn't considered in a drought. I don't know or not you remember, this was a couple summers ago when the whole nation was in a heat wave for like 30 to 45 days where almost everywhere in America was above 90. Some places was consistently above 100 for, I think it was like two or three weeks. That's not normal. That's not normal. I'm from Virginia, and yeah, it gets hot in the summer. And only, we had a couple of days where it was 80, it's only between 80 and maybe 93, during the summer. But anything above 93 to 105, that's unusual for us. And we had a 2 or 3 week period in Virginia where it was that high. That's not normal. So, people pay attention to the weather. The weather will tell you everything you need to know about this global warming thing. I think I read somewhere where the ice in Antarctica is starting to melt, if you could believe that. The ice in Antarctica is starting to melt. But, yeah, my man Keys, what's going on, man? This is our first time talking to 2018. Happy New Year to you, bro. Glad
Happy
to be
New
back
Year
on the air
well,
with you.
Bro.
Yeah,
we still got
go ahead.
We still got a couple things, we could breakdown from 2017, even though, I mean, we're a couple days in now. We had almost three full days of the new year. I mean, I'm sure everybody's off to the New Year's resolutions and changing certain things. A lot of people have the mentality of leaving the previous year behind. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, there's still a lot of topics that we could run through that we haven't yet touched on. You know, best of 2017, greatest of 2017. We had one of our previous episodes. We talked about, you know, a lot about the UFC. We did Fight of the Year. We did our Fighters of the Year. We went through a lot of different accolades awarded to MMA world. You know, I got a couple different topics we could talk about. A lot of things in music. I mean, we did a lot of top counts. We did the top five lists. That was a couple episodes prior to that, and that was really good. So I got a couple things, you know, tangentially related to that, and I had a few of those that were related to the fight game. But, I mean, we could probably do, you know, maybe one of two of those because we touched on one of those topics. So I don't want to run through the same topic. I want to give them some fresh stuff, fresh material. So I'm going to look through off the top. This one was a topic that I saw, you know, Joe Budden was doing the Everyday Struggle not really a podcast. That was kind of like a TV show. But, I mean, he got a new one now with Charlamagne the God. You know, you seen that one?
Yeah, it's on Revolt TV.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's called This Year Was Dope Trash. That's the name
Yeah,
of the
Dope
show.
Or Trash, yeah.
Yeah, and they kind of run through, they kind of sit there and they ran through at least, I think there's only one episode that came out. They ran through a couple things that I thought we could touch on a bit and we could have some good takes on. Shout out to that group right there, first of all. That's, I'm sure if they can transition that show into something 2018 related, then that'll be a successful joint you know, project, you know, for them, for those guys in 2018. That'll be
Well, word on the street is Joe Budden signed a contract with Puffy to have his own show on Revolt. So we'll see what happens with that. But that's the word on the street that he signed like a, I want to say it was $5 million deal to have his own show on Revolt. So we'll see what happens. But go ahead. I just wanted to fill you in on that.
Yeah, I'd heard a little bit about it, but I'm glad you could have, you know, you were able to bless me with a little bit more information that I might, you know, wasn't aware of. So one of the ones that I want to jump into right away that they ran through, they did a couple lists, but this one we could just do is who you think had out of, I mean, you could kind of just go off anything if you really want to, any across any genre of music, you know, if you would like. Who you think had, or we could even break it down to just hip-hop music and rap music, of who had the best year, you know, most breakthrough year, rise to fame year, you know, put in a lot of work, you know, their name was out there a lot, headlines, you know what I'm, kind of thing, and just
yeah,
got,
gotcha.
You know, probably the most, biggest audience watching them in, you know, 12 months. Who do you think had the biggest year of 2017? And like I said, you can go into other genres if you want. If you feel as an artist that, you know, did put in a lot more work than everybody in the rap game, hip hop game, whatever, pop singer, R&B artist.
I think for me, man, this is tough, but I'm gonna roll with Kendrick because Kendrick dropped an album this year that is considered probably a hip-hop classic. And that album has so many, in your word, gems on it that it's still cracking today. I mean, Love is on the radio right now as if it just came out. It was just a hidden gem on his album. And being that, you know, that their college football is having this national championship game next Monday, this will be the first time they ever had a halftime show. And guess who's the feature artist for the halftime show? Kendrick Lamar. Kendrick is up for, I want to say, Album of the Year in the Grammys. He's up for Album of the Year in the hip-hop category. I'm quite sure he has a certain number of other Grammy nominations. I can't name them off the top of my head. But if I had to give an honorable mention, it would also be Jay-Z, because 444 is an album that old school hip-hoppers, we love that album, because he took it back to the roots of dropping lyrics, and I'm all about lyrics. And me and you, we had the honor of attending the 444 tour. I went to the one out here in Denver. You went to the one in Boston. And for that man standing on stage for 2.5-3 hours and captivate an audience all by himself, no dancers, no hype man, no DJ on stage. It was just him, his New York Yankees hat, and a mic. And he turned it out. And off of 444, a lot of people, you know, they wanted him to respond to B's song that she came out with about him cheating on her. And he addressed that on his album, even though me personally, I feel like it was all stage. They was doing that to sell records. But he addressed it on his album, and it was a heartfelt song. And if I had one A would be Kendrick, one B would be Jay. Who you got for 2017 as your most influential or your rock star of 2017, Keys?
Okay. This one, I didn't really feel like any of the people who I had in mind for, you know, this and having had the biggest 2017, none of them were artists that, like, I fluently listened to. I'm not an avid listener of any of the artists that came to mind when I thought about this, because the music that was getting a lot of eyes on it and really blowing up in 2017, people that were having the biggest, you know, times of their career, or maybe not even the biggest times yet, we don't know, it's yet to be seen, were not artists that I listened to a whole big amount. But I'm going to say this, off the top of my head, I got to say Migos definitely might have been, had the biggest year in 2017 and were the biggest group of 2017. The Migos, you know, one thing I like about the Migos too.
I'll give you that as a group. Yeah, I'll give you they are the hip-hop group of 2017. They are the hip-hop group of 2017.
Yeah, and you know, one thing quick that I like about the Migos is that those guys, they have, you know, they got, of all of them got melody. I mean, they sound good together. You know, their chemistry is nice. They mesh well together on a record. And one thing I like is it just seems like they're the type of guys that probably sit down and record like a gang of songs in one sitting. Like, that's just how that – it just strikes me that way. I mean, given, you know, the concepts and, you know, a lot of the topics and the main subjects and the pieces that go together, the meat of their songs isn't the most intricate, complex thing. It's not like you would have had to really think hard to, you know, come to, you know, such lyrics, because, you know, it's not that deep, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's some kind of, like, you know, surface level to, like, shallowness in their music. You know, you can't really lie about that. A lot of general topics that, you know, other artists talk about, but that it just seems like they, in the creativity department, they're definitely not lacking, and they come together. And I feel like I could really believe it if they said that we're gonna drop a whole album, we're gonna record this thing in the studio tonight, we're gonna have it tomorrow. I would believe it, because I just feel like Migos is just on that level of creativity where they could just spew out music. They just got records for days and days and days. And I feel like that's a lot of what they did, especially, who's the one that is dating Cardi B? Oh, Cardi B. Also,
Offset.
Cardi B had a big year, too. That was the other one that was in my head. I was trying to, and I knew I'd get into that eventually. Yeah, she dates Offset of the Migos. And it's crazy because last year, 2016, Quavo had a really big year. he was on everybody's record, everybody's album, everybody's single. You know, the songs that were coming out was the Migos. Quavo had a big, you know, part in a lot of people's records, a lot of big records in 2016. Then Offset kind of got, you know, out there more. Him and Cardi B, like Cardi B, you know, Offset had as a pair, you know, as a you know, dating couple in the culture, definitely had probably the biggest 2017 for me as not a group, but, you know, as a pair, as a duo. They can kind of go together. Two of them had a huge 2017. So the Migos, Cardi B, and Offset kind of flow right into there. And off that, I mean, I like Jay-Z to be in there. I like that. But at the same time, it's like I'd probably more lean towards that being in, like, album of 2017 more than his career for 2017. So I feel like, you know, I feel like he got a lot of looks, and he's still obviously, I mean, I feel like Jay-Z, Hove is like a god MC to me. I feel like you can't move him. Like, there's not really any place you can't knock him down, like, from that pedestal. You feel what I'm saying? Like, Jay-Z doesn't really need to get noticed on a list because, like, honestly, the way I look at that is kind of the way I feel like a lot of fans, well, at least myself, kind of look at this kind of far-off comparison. Maybe you won't see it, but Demetrius Johnson, I always hate on Demetrius Johnson, but at the same time, that's another guy who I'm used to seeing that work. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like Jay-Z, I'm used to seeing the work. So it's not like a breakthrough for me because he's at that level all the time. So he's always doing that. I'm always looking forward to that. Like, it's not no hate or nothing. I don't got to recognize it, you know, because there's a lot of other guys I could recognize. Plus, his career stays at that place. It never really, his stock doesn't really go down. It stays at the same place. He's never dropped an album that has sold at least 1 million copies in his career. I mean, who has done that? That's insane.
I picked Jay-Z. I had Jay-Z at my 1B also because the 444 album, the 444 tour, that was an event. But then he came out with the Keys song with him and Future. You know, they could have left Future off and the song still would have been dope. But when he came out with the Shining song with him and Beyonce, which actually is a DJ Khaled song, it has you like, whoa, Jay, he didn't just say he was coming, he came. And that's one of the things that made 2017 a Jay-Z year, because we haven't really heard from him. Man, it's been a while since we actually heard from him. I can't even remember whether or not he did any features in the last couple of years. So I was thinking, you know, 444, you know, he might have just went to the studio, threw something together, you know, to guess. But, nah, man, he actually put in work on 444. But I'm with you on Migos, man. I had tweeted out that my top five hip-hop acts of 2017 actually had the Migos at number three. Because, man, they had a year that most rap artists would love to have. I mean, Bad and Bougie was hot. Then they came out with the T-shirt joints. And then they had the Got the Bag song with Gucci Mane. They had the Scotty Too Hotty song. And then you had Quavo on the song with DJ Khaled, Lil Wayne, Chance, and Bieber. And then they actually closed out 2017 with a song that nobody would have ever thought would happen. The Migos featuring Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, the Motorsport joint. I'm like, man, they got Cardi and Nicki on the same song? Because, you know, everybody always thought they was having beef or whatever, whatever. But for them to pull that off, yeah, the Migos did have a hell of a year. I can roll with you with the Migos. I had them as my number three.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel like I'm glad that you brought up that we both went to the 444 tour, because that, for me, was a top moment of 2017, regardless of, you know, who got to experience the moment. because, like, of course, it still happens, whether you were there or not. But two of things that I experienced, I mean, that was a moment for me in 2017. So that might debatably was the biggest moment of 2017, that, you know, that I personally experienced. You know, as for moments that happened, period, you know, I was laughing about this one earlier today because I knew when I come out with it, I was like, man, Lee's going to be like, yo, that's just your bias because it's y'all team. He's going to be like, that's because it's your team. Yo, no matter what, Kyrie Irving going to the Celtics is debatably the biggest moment of 2017. And I said, that might be my, hey, that might be my, you know, Northeastern, like it, no, East Coast bias because I'm a Boston guy, but that was a big moment to me and all of us out here. So definitely one of my top for me.
You know, that was your big moment. Oh, man. I'm going to go with, you know, my moment of 2017 is probably happened in January when President Trump really got inaugurated. I mean, I'm still stunned that he pulled it off, that he actually won. I mean, you got to think about this, Keys. Hillary Clinton was leading every poll going into the actual election. And if you actually look at the work that President Trump put in, probably the last 4 weeks of the campaign, he was going to 2 and 3 states a day campaigning. So he put in the work to actually get elected. And for him to pull that off, his inauguration was the event of 2017, because nobody in the world would have never thought he would be the one getting inaugurated as the 45th president of the United States. It was a done deal that it would be Hillary Clinton. So that is my event of 2017.
You know, that was crazy, too, because that was one of the first moments where I started to feel like that I was able to predict something. I'm like, man, I'm getting all this. Everybody's telling me this wasn't going to happen, and then it happens. You know, like early on, like I came to a point, you know, during that election, to be honest, I admitted to myself, I'm like, you know, I feel like this guy, he wouldn't be in there if he wasn't in there to win. Like, I don't think he would be doing this. And a lot of people told me, they were like, man, like, he's going to get close. He's not going to beat her. And it's not like I try to make it sound like it's a fight or something. You know, they gotta battle it out. It's not that. It's just that, you know, a lot of people told me I was crazy. I kind of just, you know, my dad kind of told me, he was like, Kev, I don't think he'd be in there, you know, if he wasn't in there to win. So I just, that's how I believe that'll happen. And it ended up happening. You know, I woke up that morning and it was just a weird day. I feel like everybody was in complete confusion that whole next day. I went to work, and it just seemed like, man, it seemed like everybody at my job was just in a fog. Like, even myself, I couldn't even shake it. Like, everybody was in, like, utter disbelief the whole day trying to figure out what's going on. Like, it was like a mass confusion, man. And I just said to everybody,
yeah,
like,
man,
oh, I mean, that's, head.
That was crazy, man. I mean, it was people calling out of work. They were like, I ain't going to work today, man. Forget this. I mean, it was like they was hung over, like, this dude really won. But, yeah, man, that was my event, man. I mean, as weird as it sounds, that was my event, man. It's like I couldn't believe because the inauguration is always around my birthday. My birthday is January 21st. So the inauguration is always around my birthday. And I'm sitting up here like, I can't believe this is really happening. So, yeah, man. I got to ask you this, man.
Yeah, what is it?
But I got to ask you this. You know, me and you, this is me and your show. And, you know, our show is based around UFC. So, you know, last week, last week we gave our UFC Fighter of the Year. I picked Robert Whittaker. You also picked Robert Whittaker. Fight of the Year was, I had Michael Johnson versus Gaethje. You had Alvarez versus Gaethje. But my question to you is, what was the UFC event of the year last year? What was the one event that stood out all the most for you as far as UFC last year?
All right, I'm going to try and run through the events real fast. I'm going to run through the events. All right, so 207 ended off the previous year. That was a really good event. I like 207. 208 started off the first year. That thing was trash. 209 was right after that. That was pretty trash. Even though my boy Seawood was on it, besides that, it was trash. 210 was I. 210 and 211, yeah, you had DC and Rumble, 210. That was pretty cool, but, I mean, yeah, it was whatever. It wasn't that memorable. 211 was dope. 211 was one of my favorite cards, to be honest with you. That one was fire. You had Miocic fighting Junior Dos Santos, and then you had Joanna, champion, fighting Jessica Andrade. And then there was a couple other joints on there, too, that were fire. I just remember 211 was so memorable. Like, for a couple days, I was like, wow, that was really a dope event. So that was definitely, like, my top three events. 212, I didn't even watch that one. 213, I didn't watch that one. I know Whitaker fought Romero on that one, so I could see that being a few people's favorite. Probably the fight of the year rather than the event of the year, because there was a fight or two that dropped off that card. So I'd probably say 211, 214. What else? Was the Ferguson joint on 216? Man, all right. 211. Was the Ferguson joint on 216 or 215?
217 was the one where all the champions lost. So
yeah, 217.
Ferguson had to be 216.
And Demetrius Johnson was on the same card, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So that one was really dope, too. That was a dope event. I remember that one was fire after I watched that, too. There was a lot of dope events. I can't even – man, 218 was pretty dope, too. I mean, we had Holloway title fight. We had Gaethje and Alvarez, the fight of the year, was on there. There was a couple other joints on that. I can't remember. You had the Pettis joint. He lost. That was a cool card. That was a fun card to predict. Oh, yeah, then you had Naganu on there. Man, 218 might have been the best card. 217 was cool, too, but I don't know. I mean, the fact that GSP returned was pretty big. So then at the same time, I don't know. There was a lot of star power on that card, but it just, for me,
so you rolled with 218?
I might be edging 218, because 214, that one had a lot of good joints. Yeah, man, I might be saying 218 was my favorite card. Really thinking about it, like all the factors, that one just, maybe because it might be, because it was the very
end
of the
year. I'm
going
to give you the rundown of 218. So on 218, you have Holloway Aldo 2, Nagano Overeem, Henry Cejudo and Sergio Pettis, Eddie Alvarez and Justin Gaethje, Tisha Torres and Michelle Waterson. On the undercard, you probably had the fight of the night, Yancey Medeiros versus Alex Oliveira.
And that was another great fight. Those were all good fights.
Yeah, and you had Paul Felder versus Charles Oliveira. So,
that was a good fight, too.
Yeah, they had a lot of finishes on that card. Hold on, let me see. TKO. KO, TKO. TKO, TKO, submission. KO, unanimous. KO, KO, KO. Yeah, they had a lot of finishes on that card on 218. I just knew you would say 217. I just knew you would say 217 because all three champions lost. But 217
yeah.
was only top heavy. It wasn't an all-around card, because I'm looking at the prelims, and our undercard wasn't that good.
Well,
I mean,
right.
I'm looking at the names up here, and I'm like, man, I don't really know none of these guys.
Exactly. I didn't say 217 was my top. I mean, that one, I was going to mention it, you know, shortly after. I mean, I quickly breezed through it, but that wasn't, I mean, 218, like I said, to go all the way down the card, and there was a lot, it was many, many, many good fights. Even the undercard had really good fights. That Yancy Medeiros fight, you know, a lot of people said that was the fight of the night. But we hadn't even gotten to the undercard. Crazy, the energy was already there. It was already lit.
Because I went with
in the main event.
Yeah, because I went with my main, my event, UFC event of the year was 214, Cormier versus Jones 2. That card was stacked. I mean, on the undercard, you had Ricardo Lamas. You had Aljamain Sterling versus Hannibal Rau. You had Brian Ortega. You had Andre Feely on it. And then on the main card, you had Volkan and Manuel, which Volkan introduced himself to the world when he knocked Manuel in 22 seconds. And then you had Robbie Lawler and Cerrone, which I wish that fight would have went five rounds. If that fight would have went five rounds, I think you would have seen an all-out war. Because in the first round, Robbie Lawler came out. Like, I have never seen him come out in a fight before. He came out kneeing, no glove touch. He came out just throwing punches, knees. And I think that caught Cerrone by surprise. Then in round two, Cerrone came out and he took the fight to Lawler. Then round three, they were going back and forth. I gave round three to Lawler also. So I was in agreement with the 29-28 score. And then you had Cyborg defeating Tanya Evinger because Jermaine Duronomy refused to fight her. So that ended up becoming a title fight to see who was going to be the women's new featherweight title holder. And then just for your satisfaction, you had Tyron Woodley and Damian Maia. And probably what was one of the most boringest title fights I have ever seen in my life. Damian Maia tried to take him down 20-plus times and failed 20-plus times. He had no backup plan. And then he couldn't be the guy that messed his shoulder up in round one. So, but the highlight for me was Jon Jones coming back, beating Daniel Cormier, making you cry because you had talked so much smack on Twitter about DC was going to do this, DC was going to do that, and DC became a meme of all memes when they showed him crying at the end of the fight. So that was just for my personal satisfaction that I chose 214 because it had Joe Boy Cormier losing and Yo Boy Woodley in a boring fight. So, but it did have our boy Aljamain Sterling up there. So, you know, it kind of worked out for me.
I knew you would pick that because that T-Wood fight, you know, that made the event for you. I know that was a make or break fight for you. I figured that would put that right on your list. I'm glad that, you know, that T-Wood was able to make it included in your favorite card of the year. So I'm honored. Even if you didn't like that fight, I'm glad. You liked the fact that T-Wood was on there.
You didn't like that fight.
Did. It's all good. You don't have to like the fight.
Man.
You just like that he was performing. That's what happened. Subconsciously. That's all good. You
don't
got to admit it.
You mean
lack of. They know what
man,
happened.
Man, whatever, man.
You don't got to tell
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Well, we know that ain't true, so.
You know, the 218, I mean, I was going to say, like I said, 211, 214, real quick. I was trying to, you know, round up my favorite cards. The 215, I forget what was even on. Oh, yeah, I didn't like that one. That one had the Amanda Nunes joint. Yeah, that was whatever to me. No wonder I couldn't remember it. Yeah, the 216 was dope, too. 217, like you said, that was a good point. It was memorable. You know what? The 217 would probably make would be close to my biggest moment of 2017 because just for the sole fact of GSP coming back, that was probably that. It wasn't the card. It was GSP returning to the Octagon, I think, was a top moment of 2017. Even if you don't even follow MMA, that was still a big moment. He's a legend across sports in general. Like, athletes know GSP. Everybody know GSP, even if you don't even watch the damn fights, you probably heard of it. Your girlfriend, your wife, she probably knows GSP. She don't know nothing about the fight game. And that's all good because GSP is that dude, and everybody knows that. That's like, I mean, I can't even make a comparison off the top, but that's like certain sports heads. When they come down into the arena or whatever, when they come down from the stands talking in the game, you know it's a big thing. Yeah, I'm probably going to.
Yeah, I kind of sort of, I thought you would lean towards 217, but I was wrong. And I knew I was going with 214 just because I wanted to rub it into you one more time. Hey, but look, you know, we're going to run through a couple things real quick. So what was your best or favorite song of 2017, Doc?
My favorite song of 2017. Okay, that one.
You can give me two or three.
That one's hard because a lot of the music I listen to is from years past. I don't like off the top. I gotta look through some of my song catalogs here because I don't even remember what was a song 2017 that I really liked. I mean, there was songs I really liked, but I don't know, man. I really liked that track 7, the song Jay-Z did with Damian Marley on 444. That was probably one of my favorite. 2017, easily that comes to mind. I'm trying to think of what other.
Yeah, that's called Bam.
Yeah, that's a good record right there. Trying to think of what other things I had. I can't think of them off the top. I really liked Drake came out with More Life in the beginning of 2017, so people probably don't even realize that this was this year. But on his More Life album, Drake has a record called Do Not Disturb. I really liked that record, too. That was nice. That was like a prime rapping Drake. Like, he had a lot of bar after bar on that thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Not like punchline bar, but I'm talking about, like, the boy was rapping. Thing was nice. So people don't even realize that album was this year. A couple of good records on there, too. I'll have to look more through my catalog. But, yeah, go ahead. Jump into what some of your favorite songs were, too. Like,
man, I actually put on Twitter my top 10 songs for 2017. I actually put that out there 21 December. But I'm just going to pick, it was hard making this list because, you know, a lot of stuff came out of 2017. But my number three favorite song for 2017 was Drake, For Free. Man, that song is so fire, man. It's like every time you hear that song, It just gets you there. It's like, man, that song is so fire. It's like, it's actually DJ Khaled's song featuring Drake, but actually it should be Drake. So, but I like that one. My number two song is, I like It's a Vibe by 2 Chainz featuring Ty Dolla $ign. I think it's Jhené Aiko. And Trey Songz. I like that joint. It got a real laid back vibe to it. Nice little beat. I wish it was a little longer, but that song is fire. And then I think this song will be on everybody's list. Bad and Bougie by the Migos. Bad and Bougie is just one of those songs that even if you tried to hate it like I did when I first heard it, it just grows on you. I mean, the beat is so hard. I mean, they're not really rapping about anything that's, you know, anything worthwhile. But the song is so infectious, man. It's like, oh, my God. It's like I can hear it right now, and I'll just be like, Bad and Boozy. Cooking a dope with a Uzi. So, yeah, man, that song was dope, man. Like I said, I would go Bad and Boozy number one. 2 Chainz, It's a Vibe, number two, and Drake, For Free, number three. And if I had to give you a number four, I would probably go with the Mask Off remix, Future and Kendrick. And my number five song would be Pick Up the Phone, Travis Scott featuring Quavo and Young Thug. That song is dope, too. So what you got, bro?
Yeah, man.
What's your song for 2017, man? What you got?
I told you, those were a few off the top. I mean, I couldn't find nothing in my Spotify playlist that was from this year, because, like I said, a lot of the music I, you know, really like is from times past. But, you know, like a couple other ones. I'll just get back to that one, but I'm not sure. I have to get to think that one through a little bit more. I don't know off the top what's the matter. We got we did Event of the Year. We did that Fight of the Year on the last show. We got Favorite Song of 2017. Biggest Favorite Moment. We basically did that. Did we do the Biggest Moment? Oh, yeah. I went through on mine. Yeah, you did. Okay. All right. I have a different one now. How about your favorite movie that came out or that you saw in 2017? What do you think about that one?
That's a good one, man, because
it was a lot of good movies.
You know, I'm really not a big movie guy, but I'll go to, like, the movies that everybody be hyping up, you know, or if it got an actor in it that I really like. But, man, I think I'm going to shock you with this one, bro. I just watched Dunkirk the other day, and it's kind of a weird movie because, you know, it's about the soldiers that are stranded on the beach in France, and, you know, they get picked off, you know, on the beach, and then, you know, they trying to get on the ships to come back home or to get to a safe haven, and, you know, the Germans are sinking the ship, so, you know, a lot of them died at sea. And that movie, as weird as it was actually pretty good. You can't miss a moment of the movie because they're switching back between, it's like three movies in one. You got the guy that's flying the airplane. He's a big part of the movie. Then you got the civilian guy and his two sons, or this is one son and a little kid that's going out helping the soldiers, trying to get them back home. And then you have this group of three guys, you know, they keep trying to get on the ship to get back to safety. And every time they get on the ship will come under fire, and they end up having to, you know, abandon ship, swim to another ship to try to get back home. And that movie takes you on the journey from the time that it starts to the time that it ends. It's actually a pretty good movie. And my number two movie would be Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was a dope movie, man. It gets a little slow in the middle, but what they did with the marketing of that movie was to market it to women, because, you know, at certain movie theaters, it was like the first 100 women got in for free, stuff like that. But the movie was so good. And that was probably my second best movie of 2017. I did Wonder Woman number two, and I'm rolling with Dunkirk as number one. What about you? What you got?
Okay, so one of the movies that I have, which is actually going to be probably my number two favorite movie of 2017, I just saw it last night in 2018, but it actually released in 2017, so this still counts. It actually released on the 20th of December. I just had to look it up to find that out just to make sure so I could put it on my list, because I enjoyed that movie so much that it had to be on here. But my number one movie is Kong Skull Island. And I'm going to tell you why.
Yeah, that was good.
Kong Skull Island. That one, I could watch that. I probably watched that 6-7 times. You know, once I saw it, I was like, man, I was like, I could definitely go see this again today or tomorrow. I watched it tomorrow. I watched it the week after. I watched it. Every person that hadn't seen that movie that, like, I talked to about it, oh, you haven't seen that movie? Oh, you want to watch it? I watched it again. Every time someone hadn't seen Kong Skull Island, I was like, man, you got to watch this thing. you got to watch it. It was just crazy. I don't know what was about it. I mean, it just really had me locked in. You know, the whole, like, I never saw the older King Kong movies. I only saw the King Kong movie they made, I think it was 2004 or something. Like, when I was a lot, I was a kid. I was a lot younger. They came out with that. That was the only King Kong I've ever seen. And I've seen, like, bits and pieces of the old, like, one of the old Godzilla movies, you know, him walking through the city and stuff like that. So I haven't really seen much of the monster movies like that. But Kong Skull Island was dope because that was the first time I've seen Kong in that habitat where he's on a secluded island. And that was the first time I seen the concept of the weather storm that, like, that it sits, it hovers around that island. So the island can't be seen on a map or GPS or anything. So it's unknown to exist. And the whole island being full of different, when I first seen all the pilots crash down, I was like, all right, like, they're driving in, we'll see what happens, right? A lot of the stuff I didn't think about early on in the movie, they're dropping the missiles and everything, and it's hitting the surface of the island. And I had no idea about why they would have been. And then once you watch the movie, you kind of figure out, you know, a little bit more. And when they were flying through the sky, I didn't expect all of a sudden they get smacked by a giant monkey hand. A giant monkey hand smacks them out of the sky. I was not ready for that, man. That really caught me by surprise. Like, I was like, oh, shit. You know, they're flying through the air. You know, it was just crazy. They crashed down. Everybody, I was, like, thinking everyone's going to be dead. I'm like, what's the plot of this movie if he just kills everybody right here? And then Samuel Jackson's performance in the movie, just his character was probably my favorite character. Like, that just made that for me. I mean, him and you had the other guy who was, the guy who was stranded on the island, and he lives with all those islanders who live there. You know, they got the faces painted and everything like that. Probably Samuel Jackson and that guy who lived on the island, probably my two favorite actors. But there was a lot of good actors in that movie, really think about it. Then there was that guy who he was like the soldier, and he was always down to fight in throughout the movie. Like, he just didn't care about the conditions and what they were faced with. And then he goes to hold the grenade at the end of the movie. Remember this guy? He goes and holds the grenade.
Yeah.
As one of those things is walking towards him, and he's like, oh, and we're all sitting there like, damn, he's going to sacrifice himself to slow that thing down or kill that thing, whatever, with grenade. And then instead of going to bite him like it thinks, it smacks him with his tail, and the dude gets launched into the mountain. The grenade explodes. Yo, that was a messed up thing, man. That death was harsh. That was ridiculous. But still, man, like, a lot of those characters, my point is that the cast of that movie was unbelievable. All that cast together just it made for such a good movie. I feel like that's why I've watched it so many times. It's because I just feel like the whole thing was just put together so good. And then my number two movie that came out in 2017 was Jumanji. Jumanji, I just saw last night. That one's got Jack Black, Kevin Hart, and The Rock. It's got Dwayne Johnson in there. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's in there. And then there's a couple other actors, you know, small level actors you probably know. And, you know, they had Nick Jonas. I think it was Nick Jonas that was in there. One of the Jonases was in there. And his character was cool too. That was a dope movie. I suggest you go see that. Lee, if you haven't seen Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle yet, you got to go check that out, man. Even if you wait till it comes on DVD, just watch it on your TV. That's a good watch. That thing is pretty funny. I mean, you got, like, the four kids. Well, no, not really. I mean, they're, like, young adults, whatever. And then they're in the school, and they're all, like, very different people, like, people you wouldn't see, like, really hanging out with each other. So it's kind of, like, already a diverse cast. They're very different. And they all – and then the characters in Jumanji all have also – they're very different, but they're different not based on really their personality but what their skills are. And then they all, it's funny, man. It's just, it's all like the characters are in a video game and they have to go through and get through the levels. And there's this whole other scheme going on inside there. It's dope. I suggest you go see that movie. I really enjoyed that thing. I was laughing a lot too, by the way. Kevin Hart had me cracking up at least half of that movie. I was in stitches. Kevin Hart, man. He really had a lot in that, a lot to do with that movie. He made that thing so funny. So if you end up waiting to watch it on TV or whatever, or you're just a Kevin fan of Kevin Hart, go see it, because you'll be laughing. He really had us all laughing. I saw the movie with like five people. We were all cracking up that whole time. Man, Jumanji, number two, easy. One of my two favorite movies. But all right, man, what else? I think we kind of ran through.
Yeah, man, that Kong Island, man, that was a good pick, man. That Kong Island was a good pick. Yeah, man, that movie was good, man.
I could easily watch that one again tonight. I could watch that right now, and I'd be fine with it. Like, I feel like it was my first time watching it. You know, that's how you can tell when you really like a movie. When it just doesn't get old to you, you don't mind watching it, like, you know, the third or fourth time, like it's the first time. Matter of fact, I just watched, I don't think this came out in 2017, Jurassic World. I just watched that Jurassic World with my nephew.
Yeah, it came out 2016.
It's saying 2015. I just looked it up. Oh, well, but
wow.
Jurassic World was dope, too. Yeah, Jurassic World was dope, too, man. I just seen this random fact. The thing did $1.672 billion in the box office. Oh, my God. All right.
Who did that?
Yeah. Jurassic World. It says that's what it sold in the box office. Oh, my God. I mean, it was a pretty dope movie. I don't think that it – I mean, I'm not even surprised. If that was in 2017, I would have had that somewhere on my list, too, because that was a fire movie. I just watched that one again with my nephew. He's 2 years old, and he was liking it. And he likes to see the dinosaurs, but you know how it is, man. Two-year-olds, their attention can get swayed, and he loses attention off the movie pretty quick, you know, once you don't see the dinosaurs on screen. But I end up watching the whole damn thing. My nephew walked out of the room. I watched the whole movie.
They got a new Jurassic Park coming out in 2018. They got part two of Jurassic World coming out this year, coming up. But if I'm looking forward to movies that are coming up this year, that new Avengers movie, Infinity War, Black Panther.
Yeah.
Those are two movies I will go see in the theater this year. I will go see those two for sure. No doubts about it. I will go see those two.
What, the new Jurassic World and Infinity War?
No. The Black Panther and Infinity War, the Avengers Infinity War. I'm going to see both of those in the theater.
Oh, all right, because they got Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom comes out 2018. I guess there's also a sequel to Deadpool coming out, too. I never even seen the original Deadpool movie, but a lot of people said that was really funny, too. I guess I got to check
funny,
that out,
man.
Before I watch the sequel.
Oh, man, it's funny. That first Deadpool, anybody that took their kid to go see it, they made a major mistake. That movie was purely an adult movie.
It was that much? Is that bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
The language alone.
Oh, another movie I want to see in 2018, too, was Insidious, The Last Key. I like the Insidious movies, man. I'm a fan of those. Big fan of those.
Ooh, I don't do scary movies. Nah, I don't do scary movies. No, I'm good.
I guess there's a new X-Men movie coming out in 2018, too. My God. Oh, and a new Tomb Raider. Oh, my God. Oh, and The Maze Runner. I'm a big fan of The Maze Runner series. If you ever want to watch something, check that out. That thing's pretty dope. Oh, you know what else is coming out?
Yeah, I'm over the X-Men.
You know what else is coming out in 2018?
What's that?
A Venom movie. You know, like the Marvel villain, Venom?
Oh, yeah, the alter ego of Spider-Man.
Yeah, they're coming out with that, dog. I'm definitely going to be checking that out. Also, okay. They're coming out with. Not good.
Yeah, man, because I think that Venom movie is going to be good. As long as they make it about Venom and not about Spider-Man. Because Venom is totally opposite of Spider-Man. And if they center it around Venom, I think that movie could be so dope. So we'll have to see how that play out.
Yeah, we'll have to just wait and see. Hopefully they can, you know, give us something new to look into and maybe not even include Spider-Man in the movie and just show us about his story. I mean, because I know there's a lot of different identities that Venom has, a lot of different characters that, you know, because I know the thing that makes him into each different Venom character, it kind of has to, it's like a parasite that enters the body and it makes you into that character. So every new person that, you know, that parasite embodies, you know, the symbiote or what that is, they call that, it's just a different, whole different, kind of like the different Jokers, you know, like in the Batman movies, like every different Joker they made was very different than the previous one or than the next one. And there was just many different variations, the different styles in which we saw the Joker. Because if you remember, we had, you know, the original Spider-Man series that came out in the early 2000s, you know, before the couple that they've done
Tobey
since
Maguire.
Then. Yeah, yeah, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans, they had a Venom in Spider-Man 3, who we saw, which that character died, but the symbiote, I think that's what they call that, the parasite that travels can always go into a new body. So that leaves it open so they can always make new movies and new additions of Venom, which is cool. And hopefully they include Carnage somewhere in the Venom movie. I would like to see that happen. Carnage, you know, he looks like Venom, but he's red. I used to have the Venom action figures as a kid.
That'll be interesting. Because a lot of people don't know about Carnage. So that would be interesting.
Yeah, that would definitely be dope. And I'm looking through. Wow, there's a lot of movies I wasn't aware were coming out. I guess there's another Spider-Man that's supposed to come out Christmas 2018. I also see, what was the other one that I was just looking at? Oh, yeah, Rampage is coming out. You know about the, I think it's from the arcades. In the arcade games, he's another gorilla, but he's like a white fur. A lot of people in the YouTube comments saying, thinking that's King Kong, not knowing that's a completely different universe.
Yeah, you know, some people don't do their research, man.
Yeah, and they'll be like, oh, this guy's supposed to fight King Kong, and it's like, man, it's not even the same thing. But, anyways, there was another one that I forget, man. There was another movie. Oh, yeah, there was a Purge movie. There's a new Purge movie that's supposed to come out in 2018. I'm a fan of the Purge movies. You watch any of those?
Man, hell no.
Oh, yeah, you say you don't.
Senseless violence.
I didn't know if
that
was
going to. It's like watching Hostel, man.
Oh, it's on that level?
Man, you know, like, is that Hostel the ones where the kids, where they go overseas and go to all them brothels, and then they get kidnapped, and yeah, I'm good on that, man. Just like I was a fan of Saw 1, but when they came out with 2, 3, 4, and then they, man, I'm good. Nah, one was gruesome enough for me. I'm good.
I feel you. It's understandable. You know, sometimes you can get used to a certain format of a movie, but then if you don't watch it consistently and then you watch it again, you might become more of a fan of a different category of movies. But then once you do go back and watch them again, it's like your mind isn't suited for that, you know, level of, you know, graphics or whatever it is that is shown. Like, I know when I, you know, years ago, I used to be big into you know, scary movies and horror movies and slasher movies and movies that had gore and had people getting killed and this and that. And, you know, there's always a, you know, someone's chasing after somebody or something, you know, crisis has happened. I used to be in the Saw movies too, but I used to be into a lot of that. And then once I kind of stopped watching them, and then I started watching, my taste for movies changed to, you know, different styles of movies. Once I went back and watched movies I liked to that, it was a lot more difficult for me to sit through movies of that style. I'd get, you know, much more, like you said, it's too scary, it's too gruesome, it's just too graphic, everything. Like, your eyes are just, it's almost like you've never seen it before. And once you get out of touch with it, you don't really, your eyes for it is never the same. You know, I feel like it's not as easy to do that with music, even though you can easily change styles of music that you like to listen to. But at the same time, it's like you always have a certain amount of interest in music that you liked at one time, unless you have some other really important factor that makes you not listen to that kind of music. But other than that, you always have, you know, some interest in that music, but the movies have the ability to lose their touch and lose the sparkle in your eye, so you just don't, you're not entertained by that kind of film anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you on that. Yeah, man, because I think for me, one of the things that I really despise is just because a movie has major success the first time out, it don't mean you have to make a sequel. Just leave it as a classic. It doesn't require a sequel. I mean, like, I love The First Hangover. The First Hangover was dope. Why did they have to make a 2 and a 3? Then 2 and 3 was whack. It was like you killed the energy from the first one coming out with this whack 2 and 3. It's like, come on, man. Everything doesn't need a sequel. You know what I'm saying? Because I think, with movies, it's like, I understand that studios, they want to make money on the momentum, but it's so hard to recreate a classic. I mean, like the first Friday will always be a classic. Number 2 was corny. I mean, he moved out to Pancho Del Rancho or whatever the hell he moved at with Day Day. And then him and Day Day get an apartment together at number 3. You know, it was like Friday should have stayed as Friday. Just leave it alone. You didn't have to make a sequel for that. But I understand that the companies try to make as much money as they can and try to create a franchise. And, you know, I get it. But at the same time, some things should just be left as a classic in its own right and stand on its own merit for the test of time. So, you know, man, it is what it is. But, you know, we've been up here for a while now, and me and my boy Keys, you know, we've been chopping it up. But, you know, as we close every show, I always like to ask my man Keys, hey, Keys, what's on your mind, bro?
Was that the actual question? I didn't know if you were saying, like, oh, I'd like to ask him, what's on your mind, bro? Or if that was really the literal question at that time. All right, so that was my cue kind of thing. Okay. Up the top, man, what's on my mind? Oh, man, you make me laugh, man. You kill me.
Hey, man, this only like episode 14, man.
Okay, so off the top of my head, what's on my mind is this. So my Celtics, okay, I kind of, you know, threw a little bit on this earlier when I said, you know, debatably the biggest moment of 2017 to me was Kyrie Irving. You know, Kyrie Irving's arrival in Boston was one of my biggest moments, okay? But what's on my mind at this current time is that I don't know, of the last few, I think it was actually the last 2 games that we played the Celtics, we just played Cleveland last night. They just played in Boston last night. We handled Cleveland pretty easily. You know, it got close, I think, in the second and third. I mean, they were starting to, you know, inch back towards the end of the game, but out the gate, we were just destroying them, man. And we ended up winning by 14, at the close of that game. In the previous game, we played the Houston Rockets, and where that was a really close game. We won by 1 point. So we just barely inched by. But basically, as a collective, what's on my mind is the fact that my Celtics just beat the Cavaliers, the Cavs and the Rockets back-to-back. And the last time we saw the Warriors, we beat them too. So that's what's on my mind at this current time, because way back we did a thing, and you asked, we did an episode, and you asked me if my Celtics were for real back when they still were undefeated with the streak and everything. Since then, they've lost like 10 or so games, which is okay. But I think, yeah, that kind of bounces back to that. My Celtics are for real, and they're still beating top teams going into the new year and, you know, what will soon be the playoff season, which will be here before we know it.
I can dig it. I mean, I like Kyrie. I think Kyrie is an upgrade from IT. I think Gordon Hayward going down has definitely let Jaylen Brown and Tatum and Rozier and Smart elevate their games. And I think one thing about the Celtics is defense travels to every game. Defense is going to keep you in every game. And as long as you can keep it close and you got Kyrie, you got a chance coming down the stretch. The game against Houston, it just showed how tough Marcus Smart is. Marcus Smart is a tough guy. And James Harden should have known that Marcus Smart is going to antagonize you from the time he get off the court until the clock goes out. And James Harden should have known that. But I got to see what Boston does on the road when they start playing the teams out west when they got to go on the road. I got to see them play Toronto on the road. I got to see them play Cleveland on the road. So once they start, I need to see them road tested, because they have played the most games in the NBA this year, quite a few at home. So I got to see them play the good Western Conference teams on the road so I can gauge my belief in them. But I am a Kyrie fan. I'm becoming a Tatum fan. I love Jaylen Brown, and I always liked Marcus Smart since he was in college. So, you know, and there's a chance that Gordon Hayward might come out for the playoffs, so we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, man, your Celtics, they are for real.
And speaking of which, too, I just pulled up the stats from last night's game because I just wanted to see how everybody did. And
Kyrie
and
had
speaking
a
of Kyrie, like, yeah, Kyrie had a good game, but at the same time, it's like, if you look at it, I mean, okay, just looking at it, you know, kind of face value, we know we win by a score of 14. Kyrie put up 11 points. He went 11, 9, and 6, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. But then if you look at the rest of the squad, like, there was a lot of guys who, like, you know, really held us up, really held us afloat in the game. You still got to score. I mean, you still got to outscore them to beat Cleveland. I mean, you got to have defense. You got to play both sides of the ball, though. And it wasn't like, you know, what I'm basically saying is that it wasn't like Kyrie had a 35-point game and the rest of the starting five was lacking, you know, with their stats. I mean, everybody was putting in work. Look at the thing. It's like Marcus Smart, 15-4-4. Jason Tatum went 15-5-2. Horford went 11-9-3. Your boy Jaylen Brown, 14-8-4. Marcus Smart, 15-4-4. So, Rozier. He put up 20 points. So he led that game again. He was 24-3. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. And ironically, the last game I went to, Terry Rozier actually put up 20 points. And that was his first time ever. He broke 20. I think he broke 20 points. That was his first. Either it was his first 20-point game ever or his first game breaking 20 points in his career. And then he just hit 20 again in this game. So they've been balling, man. That's what I'm just trying to tell you right now, is that there's more factors keeping afloat. Kyrie plays a big part, but everybody's been stepping up that game a lot. Like you said, we got to
I'm with you. They for real. I can't argue. I can't argue with you. They are for real. But my thing is, I need to see them on the road. That's all. See them on the road against other quality teams. So,
Yeah, man. So how about you? What's on your mind to close out? Let them know.
Well, man, you know, I'm a, you know, we did a year in review for 2017, and I'm going to kind of, like, be selfish on this one. 2017 was the year of Lee and Keys. Me and Keys met on Twitter probably in 2017. We decided that we were going to sit down and do this podcast in 2017. 14 episodes later, we still kicking, and 2018, we're going to go get bigger and better. We're going to think about some things to branch our show out, maybe create us a YouTube channel, maybe start doing our show live on Skype. You know, Lee and Keys, Real Talk, started in 2017, but it's only going to get bigger and better in 2018. And that's my last thought. That's my main thought of 2017, is that Lee and Keys, bigger, better in 2018. And that's what's on my mind.
Definitely, man. You know, you can only look forward to, you know, bigger, better, greater things. And I'm proud and I'm grateful that we were able to put this thing together, you know. It's definitely
a good thing.
I feel like
it's kind of fun. Yeah, and it's kind of funny that when I brought it to your attention, you was like, "Yo, I'm ready," and I was like, "All right, let's do it." And you know, I think after we had hit each other up, probably about 3 weeks later, we did our first show.
Yeah,
I mean, it probably wasn't the greatest show, but it was our first show, and it's our show. And for our listeners, if you want to go back and through the archives, go back and check us out, man. We have came a long way since that first show. That first show was funny.
Yeah, man. We had definitely some struggles trying to, you know, develop and try to figure this thing out in the first place. I remember it took us a while to learn how to navigate and get in the studio and how to work all the functions of it. There was a lot of kinks that we had to work through when we started this thing, and it took us, you know, quite a bit. We had the trainer wheels. We had to get the trainer wheels, get through that time, you know, and take the trainer wheels off and, you know, ride out. But, you know, we came a long way and we got right to work when we said we were going to start on it. And we, you know, put the pedal to the floor. That was it. We kept going. So I'm glad. I'm grateful. 2018 will just be better.
That's right, man. So, look, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for calling in, listening to us tonight. Like my man Keys always say, you're free to call us and ask us questions or, you know, bring up a new topic. We're very flexible and we're very versatile in talking about subjects. The call-in number is 917-889-3251. My name is Lee. I'm out here in Denver, but I'm repping Virginia all day, every day.
And it's Keys. Usually I'd say at Keys TV, but you don't even got to do all that. How about this? You could just make it up by calling up on the show, and we'll just talk face-to-face. Because at this point, you don't even
That's
need to
right.
do You can just at Lee. You can at Lee on any of those things, and he'll hit you back for me. So you at Lee on whatever you want to call up and talk with us, like I always say. I always put the guest calling in the description. Always feel free to throw out your opinion. I look forward to having you, and we'd love to have you, whatever. Everybody kind of come break it down, chop it up, some opinions or whatever. If you want to throw out a topic, we can always, you know, improv and go off the top of what we might know and not know about it. Or maybe you can even show us something. So, you know, until next time, thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate that. Over and out, Lee and Keys. Have a good one.
Peace.
Hey. 2018.
Happy 2018, everybody.